Hello and welcome to the Feminine Millionaire Show. I'm your host, Polly Alexander, and I'm a success coach, healer, creative, and future millionaire. If creating money and success in a spiritual and feminine way is your goal, this show is for you. Understand how to overcome your past, bring your soul's greatest gifts to the world, and uplevel your income, impact, joy, and happiness. Join me each week to be inspired and uplifted as you learn the business, mindset, energetic, and spiritual shifts you can make to create your own wildly abundant life and business. Let's all rise together. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Feminine Millionaire Show. I'm really excited about today's guest. I was actually a guest on her podcast, the Holistic Wealth Podcast, just a few weeks ago. And I know it's going to be such a powerful conversation. Keisha Blair is the award-winning best-selling author of Holistic Wealth, 32 Life Lessons to Help You Find Purpose, Prosperity, and Happiness, and the Holistic Wealth Personal Workbook. She's regarded as the mother of holistic wealth and the founder of the Holistic Wealth Movement. She has been profiled in the New York Times, Forbes, the Harvard Business Review, Essence Magazine, and many other publications. But what really makes Keisha stand apart, I think, is what she's overcome to create all of this. And this is what I'm so excited to dive into today. Her viral article, My Husband Died at Age 34, Here Are 40 Life Lessons I Learned From It, was viewed by more than 50 million people globally. And so today I'm excited to invite Keisha on the show to share her journey, how she went from that place of grief and loss to creating a movement that supports women to live a truly holistically wealthy lifestyle. So welcome, Keisha.
Thank you so much for having me, Polly. And thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. That was so beautiful.
Oh, well, you've lived a big life and it's only just beginning. There's so much more to come. I would love to just dive straight in to sharing what is true abundance for you right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's such an important question. And you know what? It's one of those questions that I faced after my husband died. And as you know, you mentioned the viral article. And I took a step back after he died to do some soul searching. And as you know, you read the book Holistic Wealth with a Sabbatical. And I really had to redefine what abundance would mean for me going forward. And it's so amazing, Polly, that when you go through these life-altering setbacks, you really take that step back, you know, to look at what's kind of the trajectory that I want my life to go on. And abundance was one of the key themes for me coming out of this, because I realized, and that's why I talk about the law of abundance as one of the critical principles of holistic wealth, and that having that holistic wealth mindset, which includes abundance. Because when I defined holistic wealth in the book to include not only material possessions and wealth, but also your spirituality, your relationships in life, you know, your emotional, physical, and mental health. I think that really sums up for me what true abundance is. It's not just tied to money or having material possessions, but it's tied to having that life that is holistic, that allows me to have meaningful relationships on a day-to-day basis, and where abundance to me means so much more than the money I have in my pocket, so that my identity isn't tied to that one thing. And so that if there's not much around, but I'm feeling so much more abundant in my spiritual health, in my mental health, in my physical health, and I'm still feeling abundant, you know, and it's having that holistic wealth mindset too, where you're not thinking about scarcity, but you're thinking and having gratitude for all you have around you, you know, nature and everything around us also forms part of that. So my journey has really come full circle because of my whole story that you mentioned too in the introduction, and just taking a step back to really think about even how we relate to each other and how we want our relationships to look like. it was amazing just to have that time to think, and from a philosophical perspective, think about what we need to move forward, to empower ourselves with a mindset that helps us to move forward. And that abundance mindset actually helps us recover from disruption if we're not tying our identity to one single thing or a title or a job. Because if you lose that, then it falls apart. So that in a nutshell for me is what abundance looks like.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I know what we have that in common, that abundance encompasses so much more than money. And I would love to hear more about your journey to where you are now. I know that even before you experienced this life-changing event, you had actually created financial independence for yourself. Can you touch on that and what sort of beliefs and mindset helped you create, become successful in your first business, and perhaps share a little bit about that? And then we'll talk about the turnaround.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And yeah, another important question, because yes, so by the time I got to age 31, I was already financially independent. And you know, it's so amazing, Polly, when you were on my podcast, we spoke about your personal financial identity. So now I'll just touch on mine a bit, because I'm the risk taker. And for the audience who might be wondering what that means, it's from that personal financial identity framework that I developed that, you know, was based on my book, Holistic Wealth. And I outlined four different personal financial identities. And I'm the risk taker, you know, that person who takes on risks and is not afraid to go out of their comfort zone, kind of to take on more risk. And of course, has its downsides too. But what that enabled me to do was to start taking on risk at a very young age. So I had always loved real estate, always loved it. And I, you know, being the risk taker that I am, was never comfortable with just one stream of income or just depending on a 9-to-5 job. That to me was risky. That to me was uncomfortable. That to me was not really stability, financial stability. And I knew from the time I graduated university that that just was not the type of life I wanted. I liked the idea of having financial security. And so I started investing in real estate at a very young age, you know, and I just continued and had this immense drive. You know, it's so funny, Polly, it was like I was going against some clock, some expiration date. And I built a six-figure real estate business by the time I was 31. And it's so funny that my husband died at the time he did, because it was as if there was some guide guiding me. Because as a result of having those real estate investments, I was able to make the moves that I needed to make to overcome this tragedy, to be honest with you. Because by that time, I had two young kids. When he died, I had a 3-year-old and an 8-week-old. Like, I literally had just given birth 8 weeks prior. Gosh. And so it was a rare illness. As you read in the book, it was so rare that most doctors will never see it in their lifetime, only in textbooks. And we had never heard of it before. It took 1 year to get the autopsy results. They had to assemble an international team across several different countries, and it was heartbreaking. But what the real estate gave me was that financial security to be able to take a step back when I needed it most, to focus on my kids, to focus on my own mental wellness, and to just figure out next steps. Here I was, a single mom at 31, widowed, just having gave birth 8 weeks prior, and was wondering what was going on. What were my next steps? I was so young, and I felt even younger. Like, I felt probably a decade younger than I was, but I was able to focus on my mental well-being and overcoming this in a way that would be sustainable for me to be able to take care of my kids in the way I wanted to because of real estate, honestly. And so now I advocate for women to invest, and no matter what it is, because, you know, we all have different financial identities, different risk levels. We all value different things. We kind of lean to one investment or the other. So I'm not advocating for real estate over anything else, although it is a good type of investment. It's very resilient and it appreciates over time. But whatever it is, and this is why I'm glad this movement has reached to where it is, because I think people have taken out of my story, which was so compelling, the critical parts that they really needed. And I think this is why it has touched so many people, because of the story behind why, you know, we need to plan ahead and really pay attention, especially for women.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I'm curious, in those first sort of few months right after your husband's death, how did you get through that? What parts of you did you tap into that enabled you to keep going? We know that you had this financial structure around you, but emotionally, spiritually, how did you cope?
Yeah, no, that's another good question, because that's why we ended up naming the book Holistic Wealth, because it's so funny, Polly. I was thinking about this just yesterday, that the financial piece for me was in place. And we had even put in extra added pillars in place. Like, we had a life insurance, we had multiple, we had several different things in place. So the financial piece was there. And I thought to myself, even though that was there, that's not what gave me the peace of mind. That's not what completely brought me out of this tragedy. Of course it helped. There's no doubt that it helped to know that money was no problem, that we would live, we'd be fine, we would survive. But it was the spiritual and emotional pillars and relationships that I had with others that brought me through this. So just going back to when it happened, right, as you can imagine, we walked into the hospital. 3 hours later, he was dead. I had an 8-week-old at home and a 3-year-old that I went home to. Luckily, my mom was there with them. She couldn't come to the hospital with me. I was there all alone because she had to take care of them and they couldn't go to the hospital that night. So again, the relationships. She was supposed to go back home. She had her plane ticket booked for that week to go back home. She had to cancel her flight. She retired early just to stay with us to provide that support. Because, of course, I was going back to work, I remember, not directly after, but at some point afterwards. And she would have provided that kind of childcare, all of that kind of support. And just in terms of providing that buffer, she was also there. But apart from that, there were other close friendships, people in my life who really rally around, helped out with chores. I mean, to be honest with you, Polly, in the days and, like, let's say the first few months after something like that happens, it can be survival mode on a day-to-day basis. You're planning a funeral, you're dealing with coroners, you're dealing with funeral homes. And so it's the relationships around you in the beginning that help you to channel that and survive in the first couple of months. And then, of course, the spiritual and the mental kicks in at some point after that, when you've had time to sit down to think, well, okay, how do I summon the courage now to go forward? And developing that mindset. And you know, it's so funny. I talk about that in the book a lot, the holistic work mindset, right? Developing this mindset that empowers you so that you're not having your pity parties, or you're evolving from the pity parties, right? And you're not placing blame where it shouldn't be, or even blaming yourself. A lot of people blame themselves, the things I should have done, the signs I should have looked for. I had to evolve through all of that to empower myself with a mindset that would help me move forward. And that's when I, you know, it was long after, it wasn't immediately after that I came to this realization that what got me through this was this holistic wealth mindset. And it's thinking about setbacks, not in permanent terms, but in temporary terms, where, you know what, this isn't going to be, this way that I'm feeling now, this hurt, this grief isn't going to be permanent. It's temporary. So I can look forward to a better day. There's hope for me. And this, you know, mindset, that's not blame. That's not scarcity. It's more of abundance. It's looking around me and finding gratitude, even just in nature and the short walks, just having the smile of my babies looking into my face. I mean, the gratitude, the spirituality that I talk about, and like renewing ourselves on a day-to-day basis. Because for me, it had to be on a day-to-day basis, because I had all these racing thoughts going through my mind, and it was so sudden. There was no time to come to terms with it. It happened in 3 hours, that I really had to empower myself with a mindset that would literally get me through this. And I had to get through this, because I had to do this for my kids and for myself, because I was just too young to see my life go down the drain and everything that I had worked for up to that point. And so I had to, and that's how I came up with this holistic wealth mindset and the holistic wealth method. And the method which states everything, each decision is either a deposit or a withdrawal from your holistic wealth bank account. So if I'm telling myself, I'll never get through this, I'll never come out of this, I'll always feel this way, I'm depleting myself and I'm depleting that holistic wealth bank account. And I literally had to do this every single day, day by day, step by step, until gradually it was just this feeling of empowerment and that I could do this. And then it evolved into the viral article, which is a few years down the road, but that's how this journey, you know, came into being.
Thank you for sharing that. I think, wow, so many things you said there that are powerful. The feeling of having the rug swept out from under your feet, that's a type of loss that I experienced as well. That 1 minute they're there, no prior warning, the next they're gone. And it's an incredibly intense experience, a different experience to knowing that you're going to lose someone. But I really honor your strength and your resilience during that time. And yeah, the power in surviving day to day. I remember reading your book and reading about you going for the walks, you cooking, learning to cook with spices. That stayed in my head, because obviously you were in a great location for this. And I think one of the things that really caught my attention as you moved through this journey and to creating a whole new future is your decision to take a sabbatical, to actually gift yourself the time to find your new life and reflect. And I'd love you to share a little bit more about that sabbatical with our listeners and what it brought you. And then maybe we can talk about what advice you'd have for women who would feel they would really benefit from a sabbatical.
I realized after the tragedy that I needed to take that time and the space to really heal and to really come out of the environment that I was in, go somewhere new and have new and different experiences so I could really renew myself, so I could think about where I wanted my life to go, and I could also engage in self-care and wellness, really dedicate the time to that. So I decided to take a 1 year sabbatical away. I went to Jamaica and I took a year off, and it was so healing. It was a healing journey. I was able to use that year and dedicate that time to me personally, to the kids. And we were able to do all these activities together, go to different places, spend time in nature. I mean, as I said in the book, the house where I stayed was 800 feet above sea level in the mountains. It was nestled in the bosom of nature. It was amazing. I ate farm to table. Like, the property where we stayed had so many healing herbs growing, fruit trees everywhere. I was able to just get up in the morning and pick leaves for tea, if you can imagine that. And there would be so many different herbs and spices around me. It was just a very healing experience. And so many truths came out of that for me. I mean, I literally, Polly, rented my home here in Canada. I packed my things in a 40-foot container and I sold what I could in terms of scaling down, and packed what was left into a 40-foot container, shipped it to Jamaica. It was a big move, big logistical operation. It took me a year to plan, and I did it. And it was a resounding success, because this holistic wealth movement came as a result of everything I learned on sabbatical. And it helped me renew my mind spiritually. I meditated every morning, got up at 3 a.m., as I stated in the book, exercised, went hiking in the Blue Mountains, which is, you know, a famous mountain range in Jamaica that everybody knows. And it, you know, with 800, was like, I don't know if it's 800 different species of butterflies and different flora and fauna. I mean, it's like a paradise, a natural paradise. And of course, visit the beach whenever I wanted to and really take the time to heal. And in that time, so many truths were revealed to me. I felt like I got closer spiritually to God. I was able to do certain things that I wouldn't be able to do if I was just getting up every day and hurrying to work. Like, as I said, I could meditate. My intuition got sharpened. I started listening to it more, learning how to tune into that intuition to make the best decisions for my life. And really learning, as you mentioned, I started my own recipes and learning just to eat right and goals with wisdom and all of these things. The different chapters in the book, a lot of them stemmed from that experience. It's something that I would recommend for others, of course, who can take the time. You know, you mentioned in the question about other women who might want to do this, about how they can structure it. And of course, it doesn't have to be a year. It can be 2 months. It can be a month if that's what you're able to take. But the key is planning it so that you can take the time to really renew yourself and to engage in those activities that you think would be fruitful, and structuring your personal finances around that. As I said, I rented my home. That's also an option. And choosing a place to go where you might have some support, or you might know friends or have other types of supports, as what I did, to make it even easier to settle in. So those are some of the things I would say. I'm actually putting together a sabbatical course because I've been asked, and it will be on the Institute on Holistic Wealth website. The link is there right now. It's live. And if people are interested, they can check it out, because there's so many nuts and bolts of planning a sabbatical, especially if you're doing a 1 year or even a 6 month sabbatical, that are critical. And it can backfire if it's not planned well. It took me about a year to plan mine. So, You know, it's critical that if people are thinking about doing it, that they plan it well and really think about what they're doing and what they hope to accomplish, and outline some goals for the sabbatical, you know, outline some personal goals and really think about why you're doing it and what you want to get out of it. You know, why am I doing this, and what would success look like for me? Is it that I would just rest and recover from burnout, which is completely fine? Or is it that, you know, I'm searching for a new direction with my career? I'm searching for a new direction with a business endeavor, and it really helps for all of that. It can be life-changing.
And you described so beautifully in your book. I was right back there with you in Jamaica when you were sharing that. I highly recommend you read Keisha's book. She paints so beautifully the picture of what the experience of gifting yourself time out really feels like. And you brought it all alive so wonderfully. So I love that you shared it helped you get closer to God, that it helped you sharpen your intuition, listen to it more, be really present with your children, uncover a way of eating that's in harmony with your body and brings you joy. And ultimately, it led to you birthing what I see, and I don't know if you see it the same way, but I see it almost as like your legacy for the world or your life purpose.
Absolutely. It was definitely my life purpose. It became so crystal clear to me on sabbatical. It was like somebody slapping you in the face, God forbid, and saying, look, it's right here. And it's one of the things I think that if you're thinking about taking a sabbatical, that to clarify your life purpose, if that's one of the goals, then that's one of the benefits of taking a sabbatical. There's so many amazing benefits that happen in terms of our brain when we get a chance to rest and to think, and we're not crowded by the ego around us and striving, that we have that time to tune in to what, you know, should be our message and our purpose. And mine came to me very clearly when I was on sabbatical. I started it there while on sabbatical, even doing charity work and, you know, helping others, and in a way that I never thought I could. I started giving back when I was on sabbatical. And I realized that this wasn't about me. And even my experience wasn't about me. It was about helping others. It was about empowering others and using my story to do that. That's what I realized. And then that empowered me to really reach inward to get the strength to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that I had that time to clarify my purpose. And that's one of the main benefits there. Because when I came back to Canada, it became clear to me what I needed to do next in terms of carrying out that purpose, that life purpose.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I'm curious, where do you think most women go wrong when it comes to creating a holistically wealthy life? What do you think are some of the mistakes that are common?
That's such a great question, Polly. I think it's wrapped up in our mindset a lot and just not really knowing our purpose and knowing why we're here. So in terms of the mindset, a lot of us, for one reason or the other, especially as little girls, we grow up to please and to be people pleasers and to follow a certain life path that for some of us was just never meant to be. And of course, there's societal expectations of climbing the corporate ladder, of getting to be the CEO or getting to be the vice president, getting to be the top person or in the senior management. And we burn out a lot because of those things and make the wrong decisions that are not even really in line with our values. And probably were never in line with our values in the first place. You know, we were just doing it because of societal expectations. And so even in the book, when I talk about outlining a personal mission and starting with your values, I think that's a critical first step for us to really look at what our values are. Because I realized even for myself that, yes, you know, I wanted to show that I was ambitious and I could do this and I could rise above everything and still succeed. But I realized that was not one of my values, to be the head of a corporate structure. I realized that for me, I wanted financial independence through my own business. Mm-hmm. That was more important to me because I realized that that was more empowering and that gave me more resilience, that nobody would be able to say, well, look, I'm laying you off, or I don't think you're a good fit for this position anymore. And after my husband died, it became clear to me that that was exactly right. Because mm-hmm. I was having to take a step back. I did it voluntarily, but sometimes we're actually told to go, right? I mean, and so for women, I think, you know, just empowering yourself with a mindset that makes you more resilient in times of setback, which isn't necessarily tying your identity to your job title, tying your identity to a certain salary. I think that's critical. But in the end, the other important pillar is knowing your personal financial identity, which I talk about in the book. And I think it's important because then we tend to get swayed by what others are doing when we don't know our financial identity. So we follow the crowd and we make the wrong money mistakes, or we're not even confident. A lot of women aren't confident in their money decisions.
I think historically that it still holds true that money is a man's job, is something that we've all come into inheriting in some way, shape or form through family or through society. And so we're still working on letting go of those collectively, those ideas that we can't be financially independent or that men look after the money or it's too difficult or too hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes I know it can be difficult for women because we also carry the childcare burden. So there are naturally things that we want to delegate and there are naturally things where we think, you know what, let him handle it. I'll let him handle it and I'll focus on mm-hmm. other things. But I think it's one area that we really need to pay attention to because it's so critical. And most women will outlive their husbands by an average of 15 years. So we will end up being single at multiple points, maybe throughout our lives, right? So it's mm-hmm. very critical that we know our personal financial identity, that we are confident in investing and saving and really building a life for ourselves. And that's part of my dream for women. It's part of the mission of the Institute, why I created the Institute on Holistic Wealth, to empower women and men, of course. But for women to see that really, we need to really learn what we can and to empower ourselves.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's such important work. I think when a woman becomes financially empowered, she taps into her power in a bigger way. She taps into her purpose. She taps into her independence. She becomes an inspiration for others. She becomes a more powerful leader. So it ripples out into who she's being in the world in so many ways. So you shared earlier, I loved this. You said that every action is either a deposit or a withdrawal from our holistic bank account. Can you speak more about some of the mindset shifts you have made to grow since you had that life-changing event and to grow your business?
Absolutely. So I remember in chapter 2 where I mentioned the naysayers. And, you know, it's so funny because most of us can pinpoint a time in our lives, especially women, men too, can pinpoint a time where we're around people and we express our ideas or we express our goals and dreams. And then there's one person or two people who are like, well, no, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think you should do that. And so it engenders a mindset of scarcity and it allows us to have fear and questioning and going around in circles. Can I really do this? Can I really take this decision? And here I was coming out of a tragedy and a life-altering setback. And I had, you know, there were people who would say, you're single, don't even think about doing this. Don't even think about taking that risk. And I took some of the biggest risks after my husband died. And luckily, to be honest with you, Polly, luckily I had a sense of my personal financial identity. I couldn't communicate it with you yet. Like I couldn't tell you I was definitely a risk taker, but I knew that I was always the type to go against the grain, which served me well. So that's a part of it.
I'm curious, as we wrap up, before I share with people how they can connect more with you and where they can find your book and your quiz, what's your next money mindset up level? What are you working on creating or letting go of right now so that you can rise to your next level of impact and income?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what, Polly. So like during the first part of lockdown, readers of the book came to me and they said, we love it so much. We want to create a holistic wealth certification program. Like we want you to write that so that we can become certified holistic wealth consultants. And I was honored. I was floored too, because I thought, wow, I knew at some point I'd want to create courses. We have the certification program there. And we've certified several women. We have some honorary certified holistic wealth consultants, and they're driving the movement and they're creating an impact across several countries, which I'm happy for. So I'm continuing to build that right now. And I'm continuing to reach out to women who I think would be amazing for this program, as well as women coming to me from reading the book. And so that's for me. The challenge is getting women to come on board and to really get this to the level I want in terms of impacting women across the globe. And so that's kind of my next step with this program, is that I would love to have it in every major metropolitan city across the world, in Europe, in Africa, in North America, the Caribbean, South America. And so that to me is, and you can see the trajectory, because we started this story with me just trying to get over the grief, to me finding my purpose, driving a mission, and now trying to create global change, right? And so I think about my story, Polly, and I think about my journey. I'm so immensely grateful for this message. I'm so immensely grateful for my purpose, and I'm grateful and I'm manifesting that we will have those women across the globe who are driving change in their community, so that every boy, girl, woman, and man will have the opportunity, if they want, to have holistic wealth at some point in their lifetime. And so that's my mission and my overarching goal.
Let's leave one parting word of advice, one parting word of wisdom that you would have for someone that's looking to become more holistically wealthy. If you could just pick one nugget to complete with.
Absolutely. So in terms of micro steps, or one or two micro steps that anyone can take starting today to become holistically wealthy, I would say start with looking at your personal mission. It's so easy and quick to do. I know it sounds like it's not, but it actually is. And write down your values. Think about the things you value in life. pick three or four values that define you. And if you need help, you can go through the Holistic Wealth Workbook, where it has case studies there and values that you can actually pick from. Like, it has a menu there. And then start out by outlining your personal mission. And then from there, you create that personal mission statement. And that personal mission statement could be three or four sentences. And if you want, a few bullets under that, that outline what your personal mission is, and the key areas that you want to basically forge ahead within your life. And that, to me, will put you on a trajectory.
Thank you, Keisha. Thank you for being on the show today and inspiring us with your story of turning tragedy into your mission. And I think that's really what you've done. And I wish you all the best with taking this out and rolling it out across the world. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed being here. I'm looking forward to it. It was such a great chat with you, Polly. So thank you so much for having me.
So welcome. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Feminine Millionaire. I am really excited to announce that in August, I will be hosting two special invite-only masterclasses. These are for those of you that are running businesses that are not yet at six figures. So if you're running a five-figure business, but your goal is to get to six figures and beyond, this could be for you. I am not charging for this powerful two-part masterclass, but it is by application only. It is a small group with a limited number of participants. And the first part is called How to Overcome the Five Fears That Stop You Growing Your Business. So you can find out more details at pollyalexander.com/6. That's S-I-X. And the link is in the show notes. This is for you if your income perhaps has dried up or you're feeling stuck about where to go next in your business. If you can't seem to get above a certain monthly income, and if your goal is to create a six-figure plus business, doing what you love and making a difference in the world, this is for you. I would love to see you apply. Just go to pollyalexander.com/6. Have a beautiful and abundant week, and I look forward to seeing you again next week.